Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Here's a Thought with Jan M. Flynn, the podcast for people who overthink. With the dire news coming out of Ukraine these days, I'm sure I'm not the only one overthinking about how it can possibly resolve. And that got me thinking about the whole concept of surrender. And that, of course, sent my brain to playing its favorite game of one thing leads to another. And pretty soon I was considering the notion of surrender in more personal terms. And in that realm, surrender sometimes means something very different from giving in. Sometimes it means acceptance. So, the topic for this week, when surrender becomes victory, the power of not wishing things were different. My sister has a terrible disease. It's rare enough that you've probably never heard of it. It's a progressive neurological syndrome, incurable, eventually fatal. It's not Parkinson's, though it has some similarities. I know several people living with Parkinson's, and while that's a condition I wouldn't wish on anyone, I'm pretty sure my sister would trade it for her malady any day of the week. In the past 4 years, it has transformed her from a joy-loving, witty, and vibrant world traveler into a frail invalid who can do virtually nothing without help, and who has lost the ability to track dates or times or pills, but who still has full, tortuous awareness of the magnitude of her loss. For well over a year, due to COVID, I was unable to see my sister in person. At that time, she lived about a 5-hour drive from me in an independent living retirement development where she could manage with the help of a rotation of round-the-clock caregivers. We could FaceTime if her caregiver could help her manage the technology, which wasn't often. The caregivers had many other things to do. But at last, with both of us fully vaccinated, I was able to take a long weekend and visit her. So I loaded up the car with gas and snacks and headed south. For one stretch of the long drive, I called, hands-free of course, the friend with whom I can talk about things like this, a friend who gets it and gets me, and who's familiar with the situation. "I don't understand the point of her suffering," I said. "I mean, if it's about acceptance, then okay, the universe has made its point, don't you think? How is it ennobling that she can't go to the bathroom by herself?" My friend knows me well enough to know that I don't think that what's happened to my sister is some kind of trial of faith or the whim of a deity whose thumb hit the smite button just when sister was walking by. Bad things happen to good people all the time. Nobody said life was fair. Still, when one of the dearest and most important people in your life is in the process of being slowly whittled away by a painful and baffling disease, it's hard not to protest. The friend I was talking to is too deep and wise to spout comforting platitudes, but she did suggest that developing compassion and understanding in the people closest to my sister could at least be one positive outcome. "Yeah, maybe," I said, "but it seems like there could be an easier way." My struggle with seeing my sister in her current state, I said, came from the pain and frustration of not being able to do anything to change it. And right then is when a light flickered on. Now, my spiritual path has been a matter of fits and starts. It's been more like a random series of day hikes than a planned journey. But on this weekend trip to see my sister, about which I held such deeply, murkily mixed feelings, I blundered into a clear view. It's one I've resisted because, like a lot of people, maybe especially Westerners, I'm easily confused by the whole notion of acceptance. While settling into my hotel room that first night, I stumbled upon an article about popular misconceptions of Buddhism. Its main message was the difference between acceptance and resignation, or, you could say, between surrender and defeat. I don't know what happened to that article, or I would cite it here. I'm grateful to whoever wrote it. Its metaphors struck me with the force of parable. Here's one. You're lying on your back watching the clouds. Being clouds, their nature is to come and go, to form shapes and then dissipate. It makes no sense to get upset because you wanted a unicorn, but instead you got a choo-choo train. Or you're playing Tetris, you know, that old video game with a vaguely Russian earworm theme music, in which random shapes keep descending from the top of the screen and you try to fit them into whatever space you can find for them. The point is to accommodate the shapes you get as skillfully as you can. It's not a winning strategy to swear at the screen because you don't get the exact shape you want. So my refusal to accept my sister's plight was pretty much like yelling at the screen. It did nothing to change the game. It only made me angry and unhappy. I made myself a promise. I would stop wishing things were different than they were. A simple principle, though not an easy one. I had to remind myself of it continually, but it worked like gangbusters that weekend, as long as I remained mindful of it. Once I stopped inwardly whinging about the reality of my sister's life, I was able to experience my time with her fully, honestly, and at many points joyfully. That attitudinal shift transformed my time with my sister from what could have been a sad wallow into a deep and meaningful pleasure. It didn't change a thing about my sister's illness. Whether her condition is part of some grand cosmic plan or simply a random occurrence that flesh is heir to doesn't really make much difference. I have zero control in either case. What I could control was making the choice to not create any further unhappiness by resisting reality. That choice did nothing to change the reality, but it did change my experience, and therefore our experience together. It allowed me to see the grace notes in my sister's life as clearly as the difficulties, the devotion of her sons who live nearby, the compassion and skill of her caregivers, the simple pleasures that were gradually reopening to her now that more of her friends and neighbors were able to visit her again. That weekend turned out to be a lot more fun than I expected. A year has passed since then. I've since moved and now live several states north, and I get down to see her when I can. My sister's disease, meanwhile, has progressed to the point where she requires constant care. I was on hand when she was moved to a facility that could better serve her needs. It's a lovely place, or as nice as those places get, but it involved another cascade of losses for her. The caregivers she was used to, her own apartment, and the constant companionship of her tiny dog, who now lives with one of her sons. It turns out that surrender to what isn't a one-and-done achievement. It's a continuing, evolving process. Sometimes it comes almost easily. Sometimes it's a struggle. There are times when the effort of acceptance gives rise to unexpected expression. Helping with my sister's relocation to what will almost certainly be her final living situation brought me up against another hidden wall of my own resistance. I hadn't planned to, but I found myself writing, of all things, a sonnet. If it's been a while since you took English 101, sonnets come in two classic formats. Mine took the Shakespearean form of three quatrains, or four-line stanzas, each with an A-B-A-B rhyme scheme, followed by a couplet, or two lines that rhyme with each other. Having such a rigid container helped me to give form to feelings that, at the time, threatened to escape their bounds, overwhelming me. I'll share it with you here. The bird with ruined wings still hopes to fly, but keepers kind have feathered her last nest. Intending well, they turn her from the sky and urge her fragile, hollow bones toward rest. There was a time the sky was hers to roam, the wind, the sun, the open air, her friends. Her world's now shrunk to this, her strange new home. Kind keepers say, all journeys have their ends. She flutters, fretful in the building's bounds, its other inmates long since turned to stone. The keepers kind, they wheel her round the grounds. In sleep, she soars above them all alone. Her broken body built no more for flight. Her spirit waits for liberating night. Okay, so it may not be the most lyrical or cheerful or accomplished sonnet, and it might make Shakespeare roll over in his grave, but writing it helped me find another level of surrender. Like I said, it's a process. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Here's a Thought with Jan M. Flynn. If you like what you hear, please subscribe at any of the platforms where you get your podcasts. And if you can leave me a positive review or a star rating on Spotify, that really helps build the audience for this show, and I appreciate it. Until next time, may all your thoughts be good ones.